Hi, I'm Maryam Williamson, and the tape you're about to hear is a live lecture I gave based on the ideas in a self-study program of spiritual psychotherapy called A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles is not a religion, but a psychological training in the relinquishment of a thought system based on fear and the acceptance instead of a thought system based on love.
Together we all take a very deep breath. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light, and we watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful temple. We see a garden that surrounds the temple and a body of water that flows through the garden. We see that the inside of the temple is lit by this same beautiful golden light. And we are here this morning, for we have been brought together by the power and in the presence of God. We devote our time spent together. We devote our relationships and experiences with one another to Him. We ask that His Holy Spirit, which is within us, so guide our thoughts, our feelings, and our perceptions of all things, that we might grow to become happier and more peaceful and more loving human beings. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, Amen. In A Course in Miracles, it says that if we were in a dungeon and all of a sudden, after being there for a very long time, someone came and said, you can go now, and opened the door, and we were no longer imprisoned. And we walked outside, and for the very first time in years, perhaps, we saw blue sky. For the very first time, we saw green grass. For the very first time, we saw the sun. One might think that we would just jump up in joy, crazy with laughter and happiness because we had been set free. But A Course in Miracles points out to us that that's not the way the mind works. That's not the way the heart works. That in fact, if we had been in prison for a very long time and were all of a sudden set free, we would probably have to cry quite a few tears. We would feel our grief. We would feel our sadness at having been imprisoned so long before we were able to fully open up and embrace the joy of that moment. And so it is that when we come together to celebrate, as we do with millions of people throughout the world, that which is scripturally called the good news of today, we recognize that although we want so much to open to joy, we want so much to open to happiness, but we needn't feel like we're the only ones who have so much of the pain and the despair of our past and of the lives that we have lived so far mixed in with the joy that we're opening up to feel. The reason the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus is so powerful and personally empowering is because it, like the story of Passover that the Jews witnessed to year after year after year, is not ignorant of, nor does it ignore, the realities of the human experience. The reality of the human experience is that it is painful here. As the Jews recognize that Pharaoh held the Israelites in bondage, and it was from this slavery and from this bondage that Moses then delivered them, so also it was Jesus on the cross, the pain, the betrayal, the torture, and ultimately the murder of a totally innocent human being who not only had done nothing to hurt anyone, but obviously had helped many. The fact that there was the crucifixion first hooks into, testifies to, and resonates within us in terms of the pain that we have felt, as then it takes us into the recognition of the ultimate point of these stories. The point of the story is not that Pharaoh enslaved the Israelites. The point of the story is that Moses led them to freedom. The point of the story is not that Jesus died on the cross. The point of the story is that he rose. Enslavement, you and I know about. More than anything, the slavery that people such as you and I can relate to is the slavery inside ourselves. We are a people unlike some who on this morning are celebrating this holiday. For the most part, you and I, living in a city like this, in a country like this, tend to be people whose slavery is mainly internal. But we also know that when it is internal chains that hold us back, those chains are just as deadly, just as painful, just as torturous, and just as tight. And so it is also that we understand what crucifixion means. We don't need only to testify to the crucifixion of one man 2,000 years ago. He testified, we don't testify to his pain and torture, he testified to our pain and torture. And that is why everyone in this room already knows what crucifixion is. Crucifixion is the energy by which that which is most beautiful inside of us, that which is most innocent, that which we were born to express, that which we wanted to express when we were born, the love that we felt as children, the joy that we felt as children, the energy that we came in with, that was truth as God created it. And almost from the gate, there was something or someone there to hit, to violate, to molest, to fight, to counter, to contradict, to oppress, to suppress, to hold down, to in some way make wrong, to invalidate, and ultimately to kill. And therefore, as Jesus says in the Course in Miracles, let my walk to the cross be the last useless journey. Don't make that journey anymore. You don't need to make that journey anymore. Everyone in this room has already been on the cross. Everybody in this room on some level is probably still there. But as we've heard so many times, get off the cross, we need the wood. Course in Miracles says the point of the story is not the crucifixion. The point of the story is the resurrection. Crucifixion without the resurrection is a meaningless symbol. And yet for 2,000 years, so many people have concentrated on the crucifixion as opposed to the resurrection. You know, Lenny Bruce, St. Lenny, I always call him, the great prophet of yesterday. He once said, you Gentiles, I don't understand. If Jesus was born and died today, you'd walk around with these little electric chairs on a gold chain around your neck. I didn't say it, it wasn't my line, I just repeated it. And yet we know that this is true. For 2,000 years, there has been what is theologically so often referred to as the crucified Christ as opposed to the conquering Christ. A Course in Miracles says that the Christ within us, the Holy Spirit, does not actually conquer anything. It doesn't have to conquer anything. Rather, when it is present, nothing else gets to exist. And so it is that Jesus said in A Course in Miracles, and he said in the Bible, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now, we are here this morning not to testify to our crucifixion. There are plenty of groups around town where we can gather and testify to our crucifixion. There are many ways that we can do that. There are so many friends that we can call. There are so many people that can join with us that we are absolutely right that so-and-so is a total bastard. And everything that's happened to us, we are absolutely right to feel that we've been completely violated, which is not to say that sometimes it's not very valid to feel the pain of what we have experienced. As I said initially, you first come out of prison and you feel the sadness of what has occurred before you can embrace the joy of what is now. Let us simply say, however, that probably everyone in this room either has already or is in the process of a genuine feeling of pain. That is valid, and in many ways it is correct. But can we support each other today in moving forward, however small a bit, to the embrace of joy, which is the point of all that pain? The resurrection means that God gets the final word. The resurrection means that it doesn't matter that your parents were alcoholic, that it doesn't matter that you were violated, that it doesn't matter what disease we have, that it doesn't matter the cruelty and the violence and the terror of the world in the ultimate scheme of things, because that is not the final chapter of the story. We do not invalidate the pain of human existence. How could any people, right-minded people, in any way in touch with themselves, come together and deny the pain that we experience being human? This is not about throwing pink paint over our pain and pretending that it does not exist. But it does mean that in addition to validating the pain we feel, we validate the power of God to heal us. We validate the power of God to have the last word. We validate the fact that after Pharaoh enslaved the Israelites, Moses was able to lead them out of bondage. And even to the point where when he got to the Red Sea and Pharaoh changed his mind, sent his soldiers out to get them. Talk about between a rock and a hard place. The Israelites look in front of them. They've got the sea. Behind them, they've got the soldiers. They've got the soldiers running after them. They look, Moses, what should we do? What should we do? He raises his hand. And the Red Sea had a very abnormal day. This was not a normal day. Because the Red Sea parted. Because the people of God had to go somewhere. Now, why is it that people whose history is thousands and thousands of years old, kind of like astrology, there must be something to it. A tribe that stays together over thousands and thousands of years, and the Jews say every year, tell this story to your children, and tell your children to tell this story to their children, and tell them to tell this story to their children. And every year at Passover, the Jews gather to hear this story, to read this story, to tell this story. That, when they got to the sea, God entered into history, and God reversed the laws of time and space. Because, as Einstein said, time and space is just a belief system that we have. This whole world is like encircled with the time and their space and their scarcity and there's limitation and there's negativity and there is death. And we live here within this illusion and we believe in this illusion. And because we believe in this illusion, we are heir to the laws that rule the illusion. That's all of us. And we're just walking around. It's like in Superman. We're just like, you know, Superman is a Christ story. We're pretending we're nerds when we could be flying. He just pretends he's one of them. And of course, where does Superman get his power? From his connection to his father. And we have power from our connection to our Father. Where did Moses get the power to stand before the Red Sea and have it open like that? Where did Jesus have the power? Where did he get the power on the cross to drop his physical body and yet so rise in his spirit body that 3 days later he's on the road? These were not regular people. And yet the whole message of these stories, the message of the Moses stories, the message of the Jesus story, the message of the Muhammad story, the message of the Buddha story, the message of all of these stories is that these people represent a state of consciousness, which is where you and I are headed. That they represent a state of consciousness, which theoretically, according to the Course in Miracles, is potential in you and I. Jesus says in A Course in Miracles, I don't have anything you don't have, it's just that I don't have anything else. The idea that there is in each and every one of us in this room, exactly as we are right now, fully complete, already coded, waiting to be plugged in, a power of God, and it is greater than the power of the crucifixions of our internal and external individual and collective experience. So yes, terrible things happen in our past. Yes, there are terrible diseases around us. Yes, there is terrible violence on the streets of America. Yes, there is terrible violence throughout the world. Yes, there is horrible addiction. And yes, 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 there is a power inside of us waiting to be used. Just waiting to be used, which has the capacity to cast out the darkness of the past, to cast out the darkness of the present, to lift us up above and beyond all illusions of darkness and pain and despair on the planet. It's not a matter of saying how long before God saves us. The question is how long before we save ourselves. How long before we own for ourselves the power which lies latent within us? I love the word proclaim. To proclaim the Lord. What would it mean to proclaim the Lord? To pro as in proactive, get out there, proclaim. Claim, take in, own. It's a perfect balance of masculine and feminine, this word proclaim. Proclaim. allow ourselves to honor what we truly are, to get rid of false modesty. As Jesus says in the Course in Miracles, I took that last useless journey. You don't need to keep repeating this. Join with me not in crucifixion. Join with me in resurrection, in the mind. To have the mind completely healed, for the mind to rise. For the mind to stay down in crucifixion territory, it's like a plane that's flying through the clouds, and it's very bumpy, and there's a lot of turbulence. It's low. It's flying low. And that's what most of us do. We fly very low. The resurrection means we rise. We go up. We rise up. We find the Gulf Stream in life. The Course in Miracles says God doesn't find you ways to fight the battles of your existence. God lifts us above the battlefield. God takes us into a different realm. Into a different realm. And while we were in that different realm, the realm where the problem is shifts. That's why the Course in Miracles says the body doesn't heal on the level of the body. The body heals when we're not even looking. And same with all the problems in the world. We're so fixated on the problems, and every morning we watch the news and we read the newspapers and television. It's like if there's not enough nonfiction, they want to add to it with fiction so that we can glorify darkness more. We are mesmerized by it. We are hypnotized by it. We are totally obsessed with darkness. We talk about it all the time. We spend much more time talking about the power of disease than we spend talking about the power of God. We spend much more time talking about the mechanism of hatred and anger and judgment and criticism and gossip than we spend working on the technology of forgiveness and release from focus on someone's guilt. And we get in the world that which we focus on. And yet, America is resurrecting in spite of itself. America is resurrecting in spite of itself. Do you know that in the New York Times, the bestseller list, Celestine Prophecy, which is like New Age 101A, number one fiction on the New York Times bestseller list and number one nonfiction on the New York Times bestseller list is Embraced by the Light, about a near-death experience. New Yorkers are going crazy. They're like lunching at the Royalton going, I cannot stand this. Life magazine puts Power of Prayer on its cover. This week, U.S. News and World Report has personal faith on its cover. And what we must absolutely forge, we must recognize the form that the ego takes. What the ego wishes to do is to divide us. The ego sees truth, and it says, well, I can handle it. I can keep the world in darkness as long as there's a little truth over there, and there's a little truth over there, and there's a little truth over there, and there's a little truth over there. I can keep the world in darkness as long as they don't get together. So the ego, knowing that he wants to keep this society down, knowing that it wants to keep this country down, it wants to keep this planet down, make sure that the major forces of truth never get together, because if forces of truth get together, they might have an effect. So he does things like, let's make sure the blacks and the Jews stay apart. Let's make sure that the born-agains are over there, and then the New Thought community thinks that they're completely separate and different so that they'll just be at each other so none of them can really have any effect. See how it works? And that's what we must move beyond. I was doing a talk radio show in Seattle, I think yesterday or the day before. And it was very interesting because this woman called in who was a born-again Christian. And she started telling me what she would tell me. And I talked to her about the fact that we were both American women and how important it was for us to remember that religious freedom is a cornerstone of the American constitutional system. I spoke to her to the best of my ability with real sincerity and trying to reach through. And she made a comment. She said, thank you for... She disagreed with me, but then she said, but I agree with you about religious freedom. And she said, thank you for not treating me with... I forget what word she used, but I realized in that moment that as a born-again Christian, she expected me to treat her with a certain judgment back, right? Now, it was interesting because the next caller is someone who, if he had been willing to listen to me for a minute or two, would have recognized that my politics and my sort of theological views are probably closer to his than he has any idea. But like many of the people I've heard criticize my work, they don't know what I'm about. They're just judging, right? So with him, there was no breakthrough. Not the belief in Jesus that is what's important. It is the experience of Jesus that is it. And Jesus' injunction is that we should love one another. There will be a breakthrough in this country, in spite of itself. Believe, as do so many others, that it's already beginning, because it's beginning in our lives. It's beginning in my life. It's beginning in your life. The Spirit of God is reasserted. People are feeling touched by something. People are feeling something beginning to well up from deep down inside of us. And it is our moral imperative to hold to hope, because what it means is that it is on the brink of a new experience of itself. And as long as the mind can't come in there, the mind will want to judge, the mind will want to condemn, the mind will want to point fingers, and we see it everywhere. American society is full of it. Everybody's pointing the finger at someone else. The press is so mean-spirited. The tenor of our times is so mean-spirited. The violence on our streets, as we know, is a reflection of the violence inside our minds, inside our hearts. I figured out what's wrong with Americans. I thought about this for a long time. I figured out what's wrong with America. You know what's wrong with America? Americans. We are the problem. And we won't be getting rid of the violence on the streets of America until we get rid of the violence in our heads. The truth of the matter is, there will be no new society. There will be no resurrected society. There will be no regenerated Western civilization. There will be no healed planet if we remain the people that we have been. Forget thinking about, well, we got to fix education, we got to fix business, we got to fix government. Certainly we do, but these institutions are made up. So to think in terms of healing the externals rather than healing ourselves is just a delay tactic of the mind to contribute to the healing of the world. What we need to do is take care of that corner of the garden, which is us. It is us. That's what each and every one of us have been. And the Course in Miracles says that every single person has unlimited power. Every single person, that which was in Moses is in you, Jesus is in you and me. That which was and is in all the great religious figures is in you and me. What we must recognize is that this entire millennium, this entire epic of Western civilization has been dominated by a force which sought to suppress, oppress, and destroy the mystical connection whenever possible. 15th, 16th, 17th centuries, they think perhaps up to 9 million people, mainly women, burned at the stake for being witches, when these were not people who worshiped the devil. This was simply, by the early Catholic Church, an effort to systematically eradicate the free-thinking woman, because these women represented an intuitive connection to earth, an intuitive connection to each other. There was on the earth in ancient times that which was called the woman's way, and the woman held the space of the high priestess. In every feudal village throughout Europe, there were the women that were considered the wise women. And these wise women didn't have extra powers. They had the same powers that every woman in this room has, but we've been made to feel like that which is our greatest power is maybe something which is wrong with us. It makes us feel funny. Because it is not that which emphasizes a technological, scientific, or technical or rationalistic worldview. It glorifies and it emphasizes our passion and our emotions and our desire to connect and our tendency to prophecy. It's not just because we're hormonal. We see things. We know things. We know things, and when the world is right, we tell them to you. And men long to hear what it is that women have to say. The masculine parts of men and women longs to hear what the feminine element has to say. This is why there's the environmental crisis in this world. There's an environmental crisis because with the suppression of the feminine element, there's a suppression of the sense of mystical and sacred connection to the earth. And in the absence of a sense of sacred connection to the earth, why should we care what we do to the earth? And then history was written by the winners. And we haven't even realized what went down. We haven't even realized that when an institution came forward that wanted to dominate and to control masses of people, it knew that it would not have the power to dominate and control masses of people as long as anybody, particularly the women, felt that each and every one of us have our own intuitive connection to the power of God. And that is what we celebrate on Easter, because what Jesus said is that in my physical body I will go away, but I will send the Comforter to you. What happens? He says in the Course of Miracles, prove that I did not die in vain, by proving that he dropped his physical body on the cross. But the whole point of these stories is that this physical world, the illusions of this physical world, are just is just that. To drop it is no big deal. We are asked on a day like today to die to who we used to be, to die to our illusions, to die to our old way of seeing things and doing things, to recognize that in our own civilization there has been the most insidious drama that had to do with holding down the true mystical calling, holding down the true sacred connection, holding down the sense of personal empowerment, the great epic drama that comes from each and every individual recognizing that in us lies the Holy Spirit. In each and every one of us lies what the Course in Miracles calls the internal teacher. And there are so many religious teachings that will guide us to the teacher. There is genuine Christianity. There is genuine Judaism. There is genuine Islam. There is genuine Buddhism. There are the genuine practice of the 12 steps. There's the genuine practice of transcendental meditation. There are the American Indian and the Hawaiian religious traditions, spiritual traditions. It doesn't matter what road we take to Rome, but it matters terribly that we intend to find Rome and that we take a step. And Rome is inside of ourselves. And then the person who dies on the cross is everybody in this room. And the person who resurrects is everybody in this room. We have all in our own lives already experienced crucifixion. We have already in our own lives, every woman in this room has already experienced in cellular memory and our own reenactment what it's like to have that which is most essentially ourselves suppressed, stuffed. Sometimes it's nothing more than a rolled eyes or smirks or raised eyebrows like, oh, there she goes. And you know what? We're sensitive and that's enough to shut us up. But we're not going to shut up anymore. Right? The thing is, and that voice which is within men, but it's very important. This is not about that men held us down, because men did not hold us down. A thought system held us down. And this thought system did not just hold women down, it held men down also. Because the suppression of the sacred feminine connection is within men also. And something new is happening. As we reach the end of the 20th century, we are aware of the incredible imbalance on the planet that has resulted from this imbalance within ourselves. And we must all now stand forth knowing that that which is our sacred priestly connection is the meaning of who we are. It doesn't matter what our job is. It just doesn't matter. I don't care if you write a screenplay. I don't care if you're a lawyer. I don't care if you're in science. I don't care if you're in business. I don't care what your job is. Theoretically, this sense of, well, I'm going to do this in the world or I'm going to do that in the world, that's the low clouds. That's the turbulence. That's what we want to rise above. We want to resurrect today. We might have walked in this room today thinking, I teach the third grade, or I'm a film director, or I'm a model, or I'm an actor. Whatever it is that we walked in, or I'm a therapist, or I'm whatever it is, and we walked in here today identifying ourselves with that, let us create the space of possibility within ourselves right now in this room to welcome, to invite anyone who wishes to know that we can leave this room today knowing that that's just what our physical self does. That's just the costume we wear in the world, and that's all it is. It's just our costume. It's the front for who we really are. It's the front for what we really do. We are, and it's not about our power of resurrection. It's not about what we do. The power of our resurrection is about who we are. And who we are is nothing less than the children of God. And on this day, we own it. And one of the words, not the only word, but one of the words which defines that essence inside of us, which defines the fact that it connects us to the power of God. Course in Miracles says that the word Jesus in any language automatically reminds the mind of the connection between the Father and his children, and that connection is totally shared power. When Jesus says, do these things in remembrance of me, that's the same thing as saying, keep me in your mind, because when you keep the word Jesus in your mind, was he accepted for all human consciousness the power of God consciousness, the power of transcendence. And so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can now accept. And if Jesus isn't the word that is right for us, we find another one. But my God, it's Easter. We can say the word. A Course in Miracles says it's as though he might not be the only one on top of the mountain, but he is the top of the mountain. And if we respond to A Course in Miracles, he is our master. Metaphysically, it is said that Jesus is the master of the masters, and he has opened a door. And what we join together for today is the radical personal empowerment, the radical psychological, spiritual, and emotional effects of the power of that door to open. That's why so much information is coming down right now. That's why we're getting clear about what happened to women in the last few hundred years. That's why we're getting clear why so many people have been suppressed and oppressed for so long are rising up and saying no more. And it's not about any particular people being the oppressor. It's about a force of consciousness, a way of looking at things being the oppressor. And Jesus opens the door today and he says, okay, I dropped my body, but to die to that was no big deal at all. Because what I then took up was my spirit body. And I live in much greater life in my spirit body. I completely supersede and transcend all the darkness of this world in my spirit body. And my spirit body is in you too. So you don't have to be afraid to now let go of the illusionary body. Let it go. Just like at the end of the movie Cocoon, when they were all driving there and deciding whether or not to get on the spaceship. And it was so interesting, the people who wanted to go and the people who didn't want to go. And so many people in this room right now are probably feeling like we all feel when you pray and you pray and you pray for something, and then all of a sudden the answer comes and you go, wait, I'm not sure that... And so right now, in this particular moment in this room, everybody has to decide for themselves, do I want to be liberal about this or do I want to be radical? Because the real religious experience is not a liberal one. It is a radical one. The Course in Miracles says, you want to treat these ideas like toys? They'll have the power of toys. Should we all get together and discuss metaphor? Let's discuss this wonderful metaphor of Jesus on the cross. It's such a nice symbol. It's such a nice metaphor. Great. Great. And if a metaphor has ever helped you, good. If you want to see it as a metaphor, it's a metaphor. If you want to see it as a symbol, it's a symbol. But what I want to do, and theoretically, if one person in this room agrees with me, then we've got a quorum. Because when two or more are gathered, so if one person will now say, I will. Okay, it's a done deal. So this room now holds the space, and this is the mystical power of fellowship right here. Because the Course in Miracles says that an idea is strengthened when it is shared. So what we have now agreed on, more than two people in this room have already agreed on the possibility of infinite possibility. Now this is not liberal, this is radical. Because we don't want to talk the rules of this world. We want to now shift. The Course in Miracles says that a miracle is an intercession. I love that, intercessionary power. We're talking here the power of Jesus, the power of God, to intercede on behalf of our holiness. When the Israelites stood before the Red Sea, God interceded. When Jesus died, God interceded. And what we are promised is that there is no time. As Einstein said, there is no time. That's why this Jesus stuff is so silly. The Jews say the Messiah is going to come. The Christians say the Messiah came. And Einstein said there is no time. This stuff is so big that small minds just don't see it. Right? We have to really allow ourselves to be expanded in our perception of things to, like, see the sun. And when we see the sun, we get that we can now exit the level of normal consideration. Normal consideration that you and I live with, that we deal with, our diseases, our past, our relationships, our conflicts, the government, liberals versus conservatives, and blacks and whites, and fundamentalists and Jews and Christians, that whole story. That's the drama that we can now choose to leave behind us. That does not mean that our brain cells will get destroyed and we will no longer be able to speak intelligently in the worldly conversation. When we're with the world, we'll dress like them and we'll be like them. That's what the Course in Miracles says. You will take on, you will remain while we're here, just like those beings in Cocoon who then unzip themselves. Remember Raquel Welch's daughter unzipping herself? That was such a funny image. That's what the Course in Miracles says. become completely different. And that's what we want to own the space of here in this room today, that we can not become enlightened masters this morning, but take a quantum leap forward. Take a quantum leap forward, which is the possibility inherent in genuine fellowship. It is the possibility promised through genuine devotion and worship. And what it means to say that we recognize the redeeming value of genuine religious experience. And when I say genuine religious experience, I'm talking about that which is behind religious organization, dogma, doctrine. Let us not throw away the baby with the bathwater. Let us recognize that into the spiritual depth of it all is a genuine religious experience that can be found in any or in none of the great religious source materials. And when we go in there, we are redeemed, we are delivered, we are saved from the darkness of our past, from the darkness of our mistakes, from the darkness of that which has been done to us, and we begin again. And for those of us who think that this is not just symbol and not just metaphor, this is the great fact of the universe. This is the great cosmic moment. This is it. And on this day, we join and we say, all of us who wish to, you know, it's like all the songs are about this. The train has come and get on board. The train is created in our collective willingness to say, I am willing to die to who I was before I walked into this room, to recognize that when Jesus died on the cross, he did not die, that he dropped his body, that what he was going through is what we go through all the time. It's like somebody's just nailing us to the cross of our experience, and we cannot breathe here, and we are slowly dying. We know from that. And he just let it be. He just let it go. Just let it happen. And what happened then was that a miracle occurred, and he took up the body of the resurrected self. He took up the body of the resurrected self. And what we want to recognize is just as we have shared the crucifixion, we can now share in the resurrection. We can now share in the resurrected body. We can now share in becoming people who have joined with him. He says, my mind joined with yours can shine away the ego, and he is inviting us. This is the story of Christendom. This is the great mystery at the center of Christian faith, that he now says to us, come here with me. I have been touched by something. I have been lifted. I have been healed. I have moved into a realm which is beyond the destructive capacity of death itself. I have dropped everything which does not matter. I have dropped everything which is dross. I have dropped everything which is dark. I have dropped everything which is negative in any way. And I have owned only the light within myself. And he is now saying, and it's not surprising that for 2,000 years, because 2,000 years in history is not even that long, for 2,000 years, this is such an awesome invitation that we have only begun to glimpse what is being said here. And let us in this room open the possibility for each and every one of us to say yes. And no one is trying to sell anything here. No one is doing anything but opening the space of invitation and possibility that to the extent to which we feel it in our hearts, that when Jesus has said, I've done it. It's already accomplished. I've already overcome. Now come up with me. Come up with me. It's like when Superman took Lois flying. Because we are the feminine to God. And he's saying, I can take you flying now. I can lift you up above the stuff of this world. Now, if we do our part, God will do his. And so let's close our eyes right now for just a moment and recognize within ourselves the things which we have to give up in order to fly. And Jesus is standing in front of us, and he has his hands out in front of him, and he is asking us to give to him that which weighs us down. If it's a problem with alcohol or drugs or food, we give it to him because it weighs us down and we no longer want it. if it's a neurotic pattern in our relationships, something that we do, something that keeps us stuck in neurotic patterns, we now give it up and give it to Him because it weighs us down. It keeps us to the cross and we want to resurrect. If a tendency that we have to blame people, to focus on guilt in others, to criticize people, to judge people, to gossip about people, to spread stories, we recognize that the Christ within us does not do these things. This pattern holds us down and we give it to Jesus. If we have some lack of self-esteem that keeps us from moving forward and makes us hide and keeps us from showing our light, keeps us from recognizing and proclaiming and just shining to the world in all of the beauty and the glory which is indeed ours, we don't need this anymore and we give it to Jesus. If there's something that we do that in any way binds us to this world, perhaps it's our arrogance, our conceit. If we're walking around thinking we're better than other people secretly, or thinking that we're different than other people secretly, or thinking that we will never be able to get ahead, or that we have to exploit other people to get ahead. If there is anything in us that keeps us from total rest into the joy of the resurrection and the rising up which is available to us on this day, we give it to Jesus right now and we allow Him to take it from us. Let's pray. We see before our eyes a curtain, and now we witness as the curtain opens, and standing before us is the angel of God that we witness to this day, Jesus, who was, who is, and shall be, the risen and resurrected Son of God. Not outside of us, but within. And now we worship Him. In our minds, we kneel. We kneel before Him who is within us. With our physical egos now giving up the childish games we used to play. We kneel and ask His risen body to enter us. Our bodies were used for purposes they needn't have been used for, and now they will be given new life, for Jesus Himself shall enter here, as we invite Him to do. And each of us, in the sanctity and the sacred quiet and the fierce and gentle power of our own hearts, now invite Him in. And each of us within ourselves have our own personal experience by which we feel our hearts open. We feel physically the process by which one world dies and Jesus Himself comes in. We are no longer lost but found. We are filled not with fear but with love. God Himself now takes us into His arms and we feel that God Himself carries us like a little child. We allow ourselves to feel that we ourselves are like a little infant being carried in the arms of Jesus. And we shall go forth from this place new men and new women. And we ask Your blessing, dear God, on everyone in this room. Bless the children in this room. Bless those who are older and those who are younger. Let all arise now. Let us see everyone with new eyes. Let us see the great and glorious mystical factor within everyone, that we might see that the older people are, the better they are. That a society which has held down the sacred, of course, does not honor the older woman and the older man. But when we open our eyes, we sure will. For we shall see them for who they are, the elders who carry great and mystical and sacred knowledge. And so do we. Let us be reborn. Let us resurrect. And let us rise. And now we know the word
We know what it means. We feel what it means when we say hallelujah. And we do, all of us together now, say hallelujah. We know what it means to praise the Lord. We know what it means to say, be happy, it's Easter, for he has risen, and so have we. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, amen. Thank you.